The light turned green. Is that better? Hallelujah. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Isaiah chapter 6. I want to just greet you all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a privilege and honor to be here. I love Greg and Bonnie. I just appreciate so much the seeds that they have sown into my life in ministry. I love you guys. I appreciate you having me. Anytime that a pastor has you back more than once, it's always a good sign. if he does it, then it's not a good sign. But the only problem with that is that each time that I come back, I have a tendency to get a little bit bolder each time because I get to know you a little bit better, and I feel like I can be a little bit more myself around you. So this morning, and not that I don't strive for that everywhere I go, but it just seems like the more that you are with a group of people, the more familiar you get and more comfortable. So I'm just glad to be here this morning, and I appreciate you guys having me and welcoming us. I really appreciate that. And he did it. Already introduced my wife, but I love my wife, and she's a great support to me, and I just want to give her that honor. I won't make her stand up. She don't like that. But I want us to look at this passage of Scripture in a while. This is probably one of my favorite passages in all the Word of God. And if you'll go ahead and get ready and turn there if you aren't already there. You know, for me, we're living in exciting times. But, you know, we're also living in frightening times. And, you know, it's exciting because of the revival of a remnant that I see taking place not only in America but also around the world, the Haitians. And, you know, God can turn something horrible like that earthquake around for something good. Amen? He can turn these things around. But it's frightening, too. It's exciting because I see revival. It's exciting because I believe that the rapture could happen at any moment. And I'm just looking for, I'll look it up because my redemption's drawing nigh. And I love it. So I'm excited about that. But I'm also frightened at times. Can we be honest enough to say that we get frightened sometimes? You know, we're frightened because of, you know, the devastating and frequent events that we see so often in our world. We see, you know, earthquakes and tsunamis and hurricanes and floods. I don't know if you've all seen that going on in California right now. A lot of people that are being washed away by the floods. We see economic woes. How many of you get a little frightened? And my wife will tell you my property taxes came in the mail the other day and I was a little frightened. But I'm thankful that God, you know, he always is faithful to provide for us on our every need. You know, and we also are frightening to look at our television sets, and we listen to our radios, and we listen to the internet and all these things, and what we see is we see a great moral decline in our country and in our world. And that can be both exciting and it can also be frightening because we know that the Lord said that these things would begin to happen as his return draws closer and closer. But also when we see this decline, this moral decline, we see more and more wicked things coming to pass. We are being assailed by wave after wave of crushing tide of darkness. The devil is making his greatest offensive push, culminating in the rise of the Antichrist to world domination. So he's pushing against us, and he's attacking us, and he's assailing us as the children of God like never before. How many of you could say that the enemy's been fighting against you at one point or another this past week? I'll tell you, he's been fighting me. And you know, and if you're not aware that he is fighting you, then there's probably a problem because you need to get on your face before God. You need to get in and start to discern the spiritual realities that we face every single day. That he doesn't want you to succeed and he doesn't want you to rise up. He doesn't want you to accomplish what God has called you to accomplish, so he's fighting you. But if you're not interested in accomplishing what God has for you to do, then that's probably why he's leaving you alone. That's just a thought. As a born-again believer, what do I do? What do I do in the face of these things? How do I resist him? How do I stand and not compromise? The Bible says stand, having done all to stand. Well, how do I do that? What does that look like? What are the practices of it? How do I fight off this growing darkness, this fight, this attack of the enemy? The book of James gives us the answer. He says, submit yourselves to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. In reality, in the verse 7, what he talks in verse 8, I believe it is, he says, draw close to God and he will draw close to you. Therein lies the answer. When we draw close to God, when we draw close to the Father through the perfect sacrifice, through the Son, when we draw close to him, when we enter into that place of his presence, to that holy place, that's how we are made fit. That's how we are strengthened. That's how we are made able to stand against the wiles of the devil, having done all to stand. You know, I'm going to stand up. I don't know about you, but I think there's too many Christians laying down. Too many Christians deciding, you know what, I'm just going to coast. You know, I'm saved, I'm going to heaven, and that's all that matters for me. I'm just going to ride this thing out. How many know that's not God's will, and that's not God's heartbeat? You spend any time in the presence of God, and you're going to learn that his heartbeat is for the lost. His heartbeat is for your friends and for your neighbors, and that every person under heaven might come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. That's God's heartbeat. We thump our chests, and we come to church, and we lift our hands, and we pray. Praise God. And we say, oh, what a time we had in church today. And we go back out into our lives and there's nothing different. We don't do anything different. We don't have a compassion. We don't have a broken heart over the lost. But if we truly enter into the presence of God, that's something that's going to well up on the inside of us. It's not something you're going to work up. That's just something that's a reality of the presence of God, because his heartbeat is for the lost. His heartbeat was for you when you were lost. His heartbeat was for me. Amen. Jesus said that he would leave the 99 and he would go after the one. How we need to have that heartbeat today, don't we, church? Amen. Somebody, come on, talk to me. I like it when you talk to me this morning. There's a lot of pews that are empty in this place this morning. That means that there's work for us to do. Amen. Oh, Ephesians chapter 2 says that we've been saved by, through, for what? What's the next verse say? Unto good works, or for good works. That means he created you, he recreated you for something. He's got a job for you to do while you're on this earth. Right? I mean, if we don't have anything to do, if there's nothing for us to do while we're here, then let's just go home, right? I mean, we're saved. We're on our way to heaven, right? We're not earning our salvation, right? But, so why are we here? What do we do? Yeah, I got my faith in the finished work of the cross. I'm saved. I'm going to glory. Hallelujah. Woo! Want to dance and shout my way all over my church. Now what? Now what do I do? What does the presence of God produce in our lives? What does it produce? What does he do? We look at this in Isaiah chapter 6. And I really don't know why I have these things. I do want to give you this one quote. A.W. Tozer writes this. I have a charge to make against the church. We are not consciously aware of God in our midst. We do not seem to sense the tragedy of having almost completely lost the awareness of his presence. He wrote this in 1961. How much more has the condition of the modern church worsened in the last 50 years? Are you aware of the presence of God? Is it real to you? That's what I want to know. Is it real to you when you're going in your car to work? When you're at your work, at your job, at your school? Is the presence of God real to you? Is it tangible? Is it something that is invading your reality, your everyday life? Or is it just something that's way off there? Just someplace way off there. Well, when we get there someday over there on the other side of glory, then we'll experience his presence. How many know Jesus died on the cross that you might be able to enter into the holies of holies by the blood of Jesus Christ, right? Hebrews chapter 10, right? Verse 19 says that we have access to his throne. And the presence of God is the answer, the solution to the problems. How many know we got problems in the church? How many know we got financial problems in the church? We got attendance problems in the church. And the problem is that we're not aware of the presence of God. I'm convinced if, you know, people were aware, if they were conscious, not just off someplace in the spiritual thing way over yonder, but if they were conscious in their everyday reality, in your face, of the presence of God, they wouldn't do half the things that they do. Amen? I don't know about you, but when I come into the presence of God, there is a holy awe that comes over me. I heard one preacher put it like this. We need to get the awe factor back in the church. Not, oh, that's so sweet, but oh, awesome God, holy God. How do we know? I need to get my message here. How do we know if we've been in His presence? How do we know? What does His presence produce in our lives? When we have an encounter with God, it just by necessity produces things in our lives. See, when Moses went on a mountaintop, what happened to him? When he came down, he was different, wasn't he? His face shined with the glory of God. There was something different completely and totally about Moses when he came off of the mountain and he had an experience with the Father. Every person in the Scripture that you see that had a true encounter with God, when they left that place, they were transformed. They were changed. Something was different about them. They had a change of direction. They had a change in motives. They had a change in priorities when they went from the presence of God. After they had been with the Father. If they have been in that holy presence, okay? And so I want us just to look at Isaiah chapter 6, and I'll try to hurry. What time we got to go? Whenever we're done. Oh, glory, hallelujah, I love this church. My wife tell you not to do that. We'll be here all day. I just want to tell you something. Something seems different about y'all since the last time I was here. You know why? You know what I think it is? I think you've been getting into the presence of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You look at me like, well, was there something wrong with us last time? Yeah, something wrong with me. And that's why I need to come to His presence. Every day. I love the songs we sung this morning. It's so fitting to the message today. But how do we, there's some practical things that we see in Isaiah's encounter with God that I believe can help us identify. See, for so long, the presence of God and the glory falling in the church has been equated more with emotionalism and with shouting and with dancing. You know, and I love emotionalism, but, you know, I tell you, you can't come into the presence of God and not be emotional about what He's done for you. You can't. But is that all that the presence of God is? Is it just an emotional high that we come and we experience on Sunday or through a revival? Is that all that it is? Or is it something more than that? Is it something deeper than that? It's something more, and it is something deeper. I'll answer that for you, okay? And I love the dance, and I love the shout, and I love the victory songs when I come into the church. How many ever done the victory lap? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Sometimes in the spirit, you just need to stomp your way around the church on that old devil's head and on that old devil's neck and just get the victory in the spirit. And I believe in that, and I believe in speaking in tongues, and I believe in the power of God falling in the church when we're in the altars and people being slain in the spirit. I believe in all that. You know, but if that's all that it is, then what? If it doesn't produce anything, then what's it for? It's just emotional hype. It's just another high. It's just another. It's our religion. I gotta go to church, get my religious fix this week. Is that what it is? No. It's a oneness with God. It's a oneness. You read. I'm gonna give you a homework assignment. You guys do that here? Well, we do that when we're interested in studying anything else, right? So why don't we read the Bible? Read chapter 17 of the Gospel of John. John, Jesus prays his high priestly prayer for us. I know we're going to go eat afterwards, and, you know, we want to take a nap, but, you know, in between the nap or after the nap, just pick up your Bible and read John chapter. This is Jesus' plan, His will for His disciples, for you and I. He prays for us that we would be one with Him as He is one with the Father. He also prays that we would experience His glory. In the latter part of the chapter, he's praying that we would come into this presence. He has paved the way for us to come into the presence when He died on the cross. But how many know the Bible still says, come? It still says, come. It still says, there's still an action that needs to take place on earth. There's still some seeking that we've got to do. Does it have anything to do with your eternal destiny? No, but it has everything to do with your life here and now, and whether or not you're going to live in victory, whether or not you're going to have strength, whether or not you're going to be successful. Amen? I'll tell you, old lady, she's old, so she won't mind if I say that, but... Sweet lady, Eleanor Basil, and Pastor Greg knows. She taught me that Christianity can really be summed up in two little words. Trust and obey. Trust and obey. And there's some deep truth to that. And we know that trusting Christ as our Savior secures for us eternal life, doesn't it? But one thing I've learned is obeying Christ as Lord secures for us abundant life in the here and in the now. Did you get that? Amen? Because so many things God puts in His Word. He says, okay, if you do this, then this is what will happen. He says, choose the blessing, not the cursing. If you give, it shall be given back to you, right? Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. But how many know you got to obey? You got to give, don't you? Amen? So we need to get into the presence of God so that and trusting and praising and worshiping God in the presence. I was going to preach to you about a wise prayer and how Solomon came, how he went on his inauguration and how he came to the Lord. And God was so pleased with Solomon's prayer. But we see in Solomon's prayer, we see worship. We see offerings of praise and offerings of sacrifice. How many know when you come to church sometimes that praise and worship is a sacrifice when you don't feel like it? And sometimes when we go into the Holy of Holies, we got to bring some sacrifices. God, I don't feel like. God, I'm upset with you today. Anybody ever say that? No, y'all holy. Okay. We got to learn to be honest with God. And when we come into His presence, sometimes it's a sacrifice to bow our knees. Sometimes it's a sacrifice of time. Amen? It's a sacrifice of energy to offer up an offering of praise and adoration and worship. And as we come into His presence, and then we pray that wise prayer, Lord, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Thy kingdom come. Amen? And that's the first thing we need to do when we pray. I'm on another sermon. Got to get to this one. Okay. Isaiah chapter 6. Let's read this, okay? I told you. Be here all day. In the year the king Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphim. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. Praise God. Hallelujah. How many know the whole earth is full of God's glory? Amen. But the reason why we don't experience is because we're not aware of it. We're not looking for it. We're not pursuing it. Amen. We need to remember that God's glory, He's in this place this morning, isn't He? Amen. He's here. But so many times we don't experience Him is because we're not aware, because we're not looking for Him. The Bible says you need to seek for Him where He may be found. Amen. And He may be found through the blood of Jesus Christ and through the cross. Amen. And we know we can find Him there every single time. No matter what we've done, we come to the cross. Hallelujah. We can come into a relationship with the Father. We can come into oneness with Him. We can come into that holy place where He is and be changed. Amen. Verse 4, and the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke, and then said, I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth, and he said, lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, here I am. Send me. Here I am, Lord. Send me. And he said, go. He said, go and tell. Praise the Lord. The first thing we need to notice this morning is that Isaiah was undone. That's the first thing that happens to us when we come into the presence of a holy God, is we realize our condition and His condition. We realize that who we are and who He is are different. They're opposing each other. And so I come into the presence of God, and you know what? I feel the conviction power of God in my life, and I say, Lord, praise God. Hallelujah. You know, I love it. I love the interruptions. How many know most of the miracles that Jesus did were in the form of interruptions when he was on his way somewhere else? Amen. Praise the Lord. But we have a contrast between an earthly leprous king and we have the King of Glory. And then Isaiah, he goes on and he sees that this King of Glory, and he sees that his train filled the temple. You know what? This represents God's all-encompassing royalty and majesty. His train filled the temple, and it's just the part of his robe, but what it represents is his royalty. It represents his majesty, and when Isaiah sees it, all he sees is the glory of God. He just sees his train is everywhere. His majesty and his glory and his honor, this scene had to be incredible. Hallelujah. I can't wait to get to heaven and see what Isaiah saw in this vision. He saw the throne of God. He saw him on his throne. He saw his train, his glory and his majesty fill in the temple, and it was awesome. Then Isaiah, he sees the seraphim above him, and we need to look at the seraphim for just a minute. It means in the Hebrew, it's all bad, and it means it's fiery serpents. It's plural. It means that there were many angelic beings above God, and the Bible says that they stood above God. That's important for us to understand, because standing is a posture of attention, isn't it? When you stand, when you do a salute in the army, what do? You stand up straight, don't you? So the seraphims demonstrate that they were standing at attention because they were waiting. They were attentive to anything and everything that God wanted them to do. If he spoke, they were instantly ready to accomplish that with what God had said. And they see that they were covering their face, weren't they, with their wings. They were covering their feet. They were covering themselves with their wings. And that represents humility. It represents a reverence that the glory of God and the majesty of God was so great that they had to cover themselves. Have you ever felt like that in the presence of God? This is why we need to go deep. We need to enter into that presence and that place of God more and more and more. There's so much more. Aren't you glad? His love, his grace, his everything that he is infinite. And so it's not like the world and the things of the world. You know, when we go there and we drink or we smoke or we shop or whatever we do, how many know that satisfaction is fleeting, isn't it? And it's never enough. You gotta keep coming back, and coming back. But God is never like that. He's completely and totally satisfying and filling every time we come. And it just grows each time. And that's what excites my soul, is that I know that each time that I come to my Lord and my Savior, that there's going to be a new dimension. There's something greater. There's something more. There's a dimension of His love and His grace that I've never known before. And He's going to show Himself to me. And I'm excited and I'm expecting. Are you expecting, church, to come into the glory and into the presence of God? I tell you what, I can't wait to get in my prayer closet. I can't wait to get to church. You know why? Because I know He's there. I know that I'm going to be having an encounter with Him. I know that He's going to show Himself to me. He's going to reveal Himself to me. Amen. Isn't that exciting? But when we come, the angels demonstrate how we should come. We should come with attentiveness before Him. We're not focused on anybody over here, or over there, or on everything that's going on in our lives, but we pay full attention to Him. When you come to the Lord, you need to pay attention to Him. You know, there ain't nothing worse than the people that don't pay attention in church or in the workplace. You know, people that don't pay attention are troublesome.
And so we need to not be that way when we come into the presence of God. Is we come as the angels demonstrate that they come in attention. They come with humility. They come with, and they also, the scripture says that they were flying. They were flying. So that they were standing, their posture was at attention. They were standing, but they were actually hovering over the throne of God. And the wings and the fact that they were hovering was that they were ready. They were ready instantly to do what God wanted them to do. And the Bible says that then when the voice came, when they cried, holy, holy, that the pillars of the door shook. Isn't that what we just read? You know what? You know what I think? I think it was like an earthquake in heaven. I don't know what it would have been at the Richter scale. But when the voices came out and the holiness, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts, the everything shook. Everything. There was an earthquake in heaven. Not because it was the angel that was speaking, but I believe it was because it was the emphatic truth that God is holy. And it resonated so much with the place in the temple and where God was in His throne that the earth shook. Everything around Him shook. Oh, glory to God. I can't wait to get into the presence of God and get in there where the earth is shaking. How many of you want to have an earth-shattering experience with God? I do. I'm tired of mundane. I'm tired of just going through the motions. I'm tired of living in apathy and complacency. You know what? I want to be on fire for God. I want to have a passion for God like I've never had before. And if I'm not, I'm ready to go home. If I can't do what God's called me to do, then I'm ready to go home. What? You think that's weird? Are you overly attached to this world? Are we in love with the world and the things in it? Y'all got quiet on me in that one. I'm ready to go home. You know, I'm going to believe this word all the way or not at all. The Bible says, don't you love the world. Because if you're in love with the world, you're the enemy of God. I'm not overly attached to my house. I can't stand the taxes. My cars, you'll hear when I leave. I'm not attached to the things of this world and the things that are most precious to me. In this world, I've entrusted to my Father in heaven. And I know that He's promised to give me my family as an inheritance. And I know that the people that I love are going to be with me there in the streets of glory. Because He promised. Because He promised. And that's all I care about. If I'm not enlisted, it's at the end of the sermon, but if you're not enlisted in what God has called you and created you to be, then what's the point of being here? Is it just for pleasure? Is it just for fun? I got a purpose for me. And when I'm done, I want to go. Jesus had a purpose when he for 33 years, and it led him to the cross. He had a purpose for those last 3 years to minister and to die on the cross. And when his purpose was fulfilled on Calvary, he went home to be with God in glory. He went to sit on the throne. Isn't that what the Bible says? So I want to be here as long as God has a purpose for my life. And then when I'm done, I want to go home. He was undone. Where am I at? Verse 3, the earthquake. John Wesley said concerning the angels, the burning represents either His nature, which is bright and glorious, or His property, which is fervent zeal for God's service and glory. Are you zealous for the things of God? Are you zealous to be used of God? You see, when we get into His presence, that's just something that happens. I get into His presence and I'm filled with zeal, with passion. God, I want to do what You called me to do. Lord, I want to be everything You've called me to be. And Lord, if I can't be that, if I can't do that, God, then I just want to be with You. I just want to be with You where You are. I just want to be with You. Isaiah says, whoa. Look at your neighbor and say, whoa. It's almost an expression of terror and dread at the place that he had found himself. A holy fear. He says, woe is me, I am undone. I'm a man of unclean lips. I live in the midst of a people of unclean lips. See, when Isaiah was confronting with the holiness of God, there was an undoing effect that took place in his life. Do you know what I'm talking about? I believe that it took place this morning when we were lifting our hands and as the presence of God began to work on our hearts and our lives. You know, because we pick up baggage, don't we, during the week? Don't we pick up junk during the week? We pick up wrong attitudes. We pick up junk. Everywhere we go, we're assailed by junk, by trash of the enemy. And so many times, even though we don't want to, those things attach themselves to our lives and we pick up on them. We start acting like that, or we start thinking like that, or we start having that kind of an attitude or that kind of a motivation in our lives. And when we come into the presence of God, God says, you know, that don't belong here. That don't belong here. We got to get rid of that. And so what he does is he begins an undoing in our lives. How many of you ever been undone by the power of God, by the power of the finished work of the cross? Amen. God, that's what it is. I preached the last time I preached about dying with Christ. What does it say in Romans chapter 6? Don't you understand? Hasn't anybody ever told you that those of us who are baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? Colossians chapter 3, I believe it is, says that you are dead. Look over at your neighbor and say, you dead. Now, that's strange, ain't it? You ain't dead. I'm not dead. What are you talking about, preacher? He's talking about that old self, that old sinful nature, those things that are contrary to the life and to the holiness of God. We got to get those things out. And how many know we can't do that by ourselves? We need help. Amen. I need help. And that's what I do in the morning. God, help. God, get rid of this stuff that I picked up. God, help me to live a holy life. You know what I read in the scripture, and I can't tell you the exact verse, but I believe it's in Psalms. And he said, you know what? He, God, will bring forth your righteousness as the sun, as the morning sun. God will bring forth righteousness in your life. Amen? If you want him to, if you ask him to, if you believe that he will, he's the one who produces righteousness in your life. We've had righteousness put on the inside of us, but Paul says you need to work out what's on the inside of you. We need God's help, don't we, to work out that righteousness that's been imputed on our account, that holiness that's been placed on the inside. We are the temple of the Holy Ghost, ain't we? So he lives in here, but how many know we don't always act like Holy Ghost Jesus, do we? We need it worked out. We need God to produce that righteousness each day. That's why he says, the psalmist says, each morning, we need to be undone. I'm sorry. I said seraphim was all bad. I was on the wrong page. Undone in the Hebrew is all bad. It means to perish, to destroy, to lose oneself, to be utterly void of self. I love that new song. It's out. And I forget who it's by. We listened to it on the way up here. It says, lead me to the cross. Lord, I lay me down. Lord, rid me of myself. I belong to you. You know what? The more we're in the presence of God, the more we realize how bad we are and how much we need him to rearrange us and to change us. God wants to undo our old sinful you and recreate you in his likeness and glory. He's got a purpose for us, church. The next thing we want to see, and I'll hurry. I know, 10:30, 12, okay, 12:15, okay. Isaiah is touched by fire. He's touched by fire in verse 6. Look with me in verse 6. It says, then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hands, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. Upon Isaiah's confession, God cleanses his sin by consuming it with fire. You know what? What does the Bible say in 1 John 1:19? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us. Not just to forgive us, but to cleanse us. You know what I think? I see this as the consuming fire of God just burning out, annihilating that sin, annihilating that desire in my life to do that sin anymore. We need to take it to the next step, church. We don't want to just stop believing God at the cross to forgive our sin, but we need to believe that he took it and he nailed it to the cross and that he did away with our sin, and it's no longer hanging on us. It's no longer a part of our lives, and we don't have to pick it up. We pick it up because we choose to. It's not because he hasn't given us power to walk on top of it, to live above sin. It's because we willfully decide that I like that. And we need to be undone, daily undone. There's some things, I don't know about you, but there's some things I thought, man, I got the victory over that. It ain't never going to bother me again. Ever thought that? dumb, 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 really, really dumb. You know, and then a week later, a month later, a year later, a thing pops back up. I'm like, God, where'd that come from? So I have to go back to His presence. I have to go back to the cross. Say, Lord, bring me into Your presence, Lord, and consume the chaff. Consume the dross. Consume it. Burn it out. See, when we come into the presence of God, that's one of the things that we need to ask ourselves. Number one is, was I undone? Was there a change in my heart? Was there conviction? Was there chastening of the Lord? If He loves you, guess what? He's going to chastise you. He's going to deal with you in the areas you need to change. Anybody perfect don't need to change? Hallelujah. We all imperfect. We all need to change, don't we? And so we all need that undoing. We all need God to produce. He need to change us, to rearrange us, you know, and to grow us. So the first thing is are we undone? The second thing is where we set ablaze with Holy Ghost fire. Where we set ablaze with Holy Ghost fire. See, everything in God's presence is ablaze with holy fire. The seraphim means fiery serpent. So in the eyes of the prophet, they were on fire. They were fiery. The coal was aglow, ablaze with the fire of God. The altar was ablaze with the fire. It was on fire. God Himself was on fire. What does the Bible say? Deuteronomy 4, verse 24 says, "For the Lord thy God is a consuming fire, even a jealous God." Hebrews 12 and 29, "For our God is a consuming fire." I'll say, so we got God that's on fire, we got the altar, we got the coal, we got the seraphim. And then we got Isaiah, who is scorched or is touched by fire. So when we come into the presence of God, we're undone, and then we're scorched with fire. We're touched by fire. How many ever experienced the fire of the Holy Ghost before? Oh, hallelujah. How many of you want to again? I want to live on fire. I want to live on fire for the Lord. Anybody else want to live on fire for Jesus? I want to live on fire for the Lord, and I need Him to touch me, because it's not something that I can go about and work up. You know, there's nothing worse for me than when I see somebody coming up into the pulpit and trying to work up or dance up some fire that when you look at them, it ain't really there. When you look at their life, it ain't really there. But when they get in the pulpit, woo, fire, hallelujah. But when they live their everyday life, there's no fire. Fire demonstrates your passion for God on a daily basis. And if you're on fire for God, you have a passion for God, guess what you're going to do? You're going to pursue Him. You're going to pursue Him. I've got to hurry. I just more scriptures about the fire. Exodus chapter 3, Moses encountered what? A burning bush. It was on fire, wasn't it? It was on fire. So we see throughout the scripture, whenever somebody has an encounter with God, it's an encounter with fire, isn't it? Even Elijah, when he's on the mountain, there was a fire in the midst when he had his encounter with God. And Jesus came to send fire on the earth, Luke 3 and 16, and to baptize with fire, Matthew 3 and 11. How many of you ever had Jesus baptize you with fire? Anybody been baptized with fire in this place? Anybody? Hallelujah. God, I feel like I'm losing to you today. Are you with me? Praise God. Hallelujah. The chariot that came for Elijah in 2 Kings, what was it? It was on fire, wasn't it? And then what happened in the upper room when God showed up? The Bible says that cloven tongues of fire fell down on top of them, didn't it? The fire of God. How many? I want the fire of God, church. I really want the fire of God in my life. I want the power of the Holy Ghost and His anointing in everything I do and everything I say. I want the fire of the Holy Spirit. I feel it. Hallelujah. The Bible said in Ezekiel that there was this fire shut up in his bones that he had to get out, that he had to preach, that he had to tell, that he had to do what God had called him to do. And so many times we stop short of what God wants us to do. You know what? I don't want to be a fatality in this world. I want to be a force for Jesus Christ. I want to make a difference in this world. I want to win some people to Jesus. I want to tell them about the blood. I want to tell them about the cross. I want to tell them about the resurrection and the eternal life that I have in Jesus. I'm tired. Come on, church. We got to get off the sidelines and we got to get in the game. We're not earning our salvation, but you know what? We are and can affect the salvation of others by being a witness, by being empowered by the Holy Spirit to reach somebody before the time runs out. How many know time is short? Time is short, and we need to get a revelation once again of hellfire and knowing that people are dying and going to hell, and they're our neighbors and they're our co-workers. And if you don't tell them, nobody will. We need the fire. I need the fire. I need the fire of the Holy Spirit. Honey, I want to be daily baptized in the Holy Ghost. I want to experience the fire of God every time I bow my knees. Every time I look up to heaven, I want to feel His fire burning bright. And you know what? That the constant fire is that passion for God. It's passion for souls. It's having a focus, a burning desire to do something for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It seems like most of the time in the church, our burning desire is Ryan's afterwards. Sometimes in the church, our burning desire is to feel good and get goose pimples down our necks. You know what? All that's good, but the Bible says in the book of Acts that the Holy Ghost came for one reason. It's to empower us to witness. He empower us to witness, to give us the power to live a holy life so that our witness is credible. But the thing that He came to do was to take this gospel message, this message that you have, that your pastor's been preaching to you. And you know what? The realization that I've come to is that more people are won to the church and to the kingdom of God through the people that sit in the pews than the guys who stand in the pulpit. That means that you're the legs, you're the hands, you're the feet. He's the head. He's the head. So He casts the vision and He preaches the word to you. And when you get this, you get the sinners in here, then He preaches the gospel and they're saved. Amen? But the Bible teaches us that you're the body, you're the hands, you're the feet. You're the ones that have to go out and to do the work. And if you're not doing the work, guess what? The church's not growing. Kingdom of God's not growing. People still perishing. Amen? And please don't take this as condemning this morning. I'm just saying, we get in the presence of God like we did this morning. You know what? It's supposed to produce some things. I believe that God has worked on our hearts this morning and that He has changed us from the inside. And there's been some undoing that's taken place. But what I want you to understand is when you're truly in the presence of God, it's going to set you ablaze with passion for what God is passionate about. And He's passionate about souls. He's passionate about souls. That's what He died for. That's what He lived for. Everything that He did was so that we could have a relationship with God. But if it's not about, it's not just about us and us being self-serving, is it? We should be selfless as He was selfless in giving ourselves fully to what He's called us to do as an act of worship. All right. I'm trying to land. And the last thing I want you to see, and I mentioned this early, but Isaiah was enlisted. Verse 8 says, "Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us?" And that's very important. You need to understand that because it's a reference to the triune God. So as much as it was God the Father saying it, it was God the Son and God the Holy Spirit that was speaking to Isaiah and saying, "Who will go for us?" And Jesus does the same thing in the Great Commission in Matthew chapter 28. He says, go and what? Teach. Go and preach. Go share it. Go share this truth, this gospel, this blessing, this love with the entirety of the world. And I believe the Holy Spirit is asking that same question to you and to me this morning. Who will go? Jesus is asking us, who will go? Jesus is asking us, who will go for us? Who will go preach? Who will go witness? Who will go tell somebody? Did you know the church exists for the edification of the saints? It does. So that we can be encouraged. But why? So that we can go around and, wow, this is great. Or is it so that we can be encouraged so that we'll have the fervor and the strength to go on with what God has ordained for us to do and called us to do? You got a plan. Can I tell you that this morning? God's got a plan for you. If you're still breathing and walking around on this earth, God's got something for you to do. We need to get ourselves refocused. We need to re-enlist this morning. Isaiah responds without hesitation, without reservation. Here I am, Lord. You send me. Lord, I'll go for you. See, but Isaiah couldn't come to that place until he had been undone. How many know when we're not, when we haven't experienced God's undoing power, we're selfish, aren't we? We don't want to do anything else than do what we have to do. You know, go to work, pay the bills. But when we come into the presence of God, something happens. There's an undoing that takes place. He starts to rid us of ourselves and our sinful and selfish ambitions. And he begins to touch our souls with fire. Touch our wills and our minds and our emotions with fire. How many of you love him this morning? I don't know about you, but my love for him is like a fire. And I don't have the words sometimes to express. Like I said in the beginning, when we come, sometimes I get into that place and I just ain't got nothing to say. I can't say anything. Because he's overwhelming. I'm in the presence of a God that the universe cannot contain. And what's so sweet is that he's that God, but he's also as personal and as close as my closest friend or my brother. The other day, I was sitting on my table, my kitchen table, and the Holy Spirit just filled that place, and I said, God. It was almost like the Lord was sitting across from me. I was having a conversation with my King. He spoke sweet things to me, and I just wept. And you think, man, I don't want to weep, you preacher. I'm sorry. But the Scripture says that the Lord bottles the tears of the saints. And that in that day when we stand before him, that they're going to be poured out as an offering, as a sweet aroma to the Lord of glory. You see, when we come, we need to ask ourselves, Lord, was it just another emotional experience when I went to church? Was it just a bunch of religious activity? Or was I changed? Was I undone? Was my selfish pride removed? Lord, was I touched with fire? Is my love for you ablaze once again? Do I feel the power of the Holy Spirit within me? And finally, we got to ask ourselves, did we hear his call? To believe God's calling all of us up to something greater. He's calling us closer to himself than we've ever been before. He's calling us to do great and awesome things in these last days. You believe that, church? How many want to do something great and awesome for God in these last days? You know what I'm believing? I want to believe with you that there won't be an empty pew in this place when you come to meet. I want to believe with you that God's going to do something awesome through the anointing that he's placed on this body of believers. But you've got to believe it too. You've got to believe that God wants to do something awesome, that he wants to use you, that he wants to, I believe it with all my heart. God wants to use this group of people, this body of Christ. He wants to use you to do something great in Springfield, Ohio. Do you guys believe that? Amen. Come on, one or two amens. Oh, Lord, help me, pastor. Come on, you need to get behind your pastor and say, you know what? I'm ready to be enlisted and do what God has called me to do. Maybe that's making, you know, cleaning up. Maybe that's nursery. Maybe that's singing. Maybe that's preaching. Maybe that's missionary to India. I don't know what it is, but I'm here to tell you that God is calling you. And when the presence of God fills the building, what he wants to do is undo us. He wants to set us ablaze, and then he wants to use you. He doesn't do all that so that you can warm a pew. Can I get an amen this morning? I need to be touched with fire so I can be sent out and do what God has called me to do. That's all. I don't know. Maybe I'm just off my rocker, fanatic. But that's all right. I think I'm sitting in a pretty good class of people when you look at the Bible. John the Baptist, I mean, he's running around and half naked, you know, eating locusts. You got to be crazy to eat locusts. Big fly. Or Paul or Peter. Or Jesus himself. When he rolled over the temples, the money changers' tables, the Bible says that the zeal of thine house, the zeal of thy presence, has eaten me up. Jesus was so focused on what God wanted him to do. It was a prophetic, it was fulfilled from the Psalms. And the apostle saw that the zeal of the house of God has eaten him up. Can I ask you this morning? What's eating you up? Is it fear? Is it doubt? What's eating you up? Would you stand with me this morning? 12:15, hey, I got her landed before 12:15, hallelujah. I love being in church. How many love being in church? I love being in the presence of my fellow believers. I love preaching the word, as you could probably tell. I enjoy preaching, and I have to be careful because sometimes y'all are not with me. I've been studying, like Pastor said. You know, he's in there, he's into it, man. Just studying it up, you know. And sometimes I get all into the details and stuff, but because every little nugget of the word is so sweet to me. I love him, church, and I know that you do too. But let us not settle when we come to the house of God and when we come into our closet of prayer. Let us not settle for just an emotional experience. Let us not settle for just another wish list taken to our sugar daddy. But let us truly enter in to the presence of Almighty, into that holy place. Church, it breaks my heart, you know, because I see so many. Every Sunday, I sit up on the drums, I play the drums. Not nearly as well as this man up here, but I sit up there and people are so disenfranchised, disconnected. Jesus purchased for us this great privilege to come to that holy place. And nobody's going. The Lord's knocking, but nobody's opening up that door. Let's bow our heads this morning. Father, we just come before you, Lord. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord, for how it's made alive to my soul, Lord. Lord, I thank you that you purchased for me access to you. Lord, you removed that wall of partition, that wall of separation. Lord, you took it out and you took it away. It was rent. Lord, that rending was your flesh. Lord, you took it out and you nailed that handwriting of ordinances that was against us. Lord, you nailed it to your cross. And Lord, you made a way that we could come in and Lord, we could truly encounter and experience the overwhelming beauty and majesty of who you are. Lord, I love you. Church, just begin to praise him all over this place. Lord, we love you. Lord, I love you. Lord, hallelujah to your name. Lord, we bless you today. Holy is your name, Lord. Holy is your name, Lord. Lord, I thank you for your undoing power this morning, Lord. Change us this day, Lord, by the washing and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. Lord, renew us, Lord, and refresh us today. Lord, each person in his place. Maybe you're here this morning and you just felt dry. for a while. You know what? You need that fire to be restoked in your life, and you need to be set ablaze once again with Holy Ghost fire. You know what? I want you to come to this altar today. There ain't a whole lot of room up here, but if you'll come, I want you just to come and ask God to set you ablaze once again, to set you ablaze with fire like you've never been before. How many of you want the fire this morning? Does anybody? Could we just come and come to this altar this morning and let's just seek the face of God. Let's just begin to ask Him to move on us and to set us ablaze afresh and anew with fire. Oh God, have your way in this place. Hallelujah. We'll end up here at the altar today, okay, church? Let's just all come. If you want to come, maybe you need God to undo something in your life. Maybe you need God to set you ablaze. Somebody in this place has given up on a dream that God has given you. Somebody in this place, you've given up on a dream that God has called you to. He's called you with a holy calling. He's put it in your soul and in your heart, and you gave up on it. You gave up on that calling sometime in your life. And God wants to renew that call this morning. Some of you here have forgotten that you're enlisted in God's army, that God has enlisted you and called you to great and awesome exploits in the kingdom in these last days to save somebody, to reach somebody with this message, with this glorious gospel. Can we lift our hands? Father, Lord, we seek you this morning. Lord, just for the next few moments, God, we set our affections on you. Lord, we seek you, your face, Lord. Lord, show us your glory, Lord. Lord, show us your glory this morning, Lord. Open our eyes, Lord, that we might see, Lord. Lord, we seek to buy that ointment from you, Lord. Lord, and rub it on our eyes spiritually, Lord, that we can see. Lord, give us discernment, God. God, pour out your spirit this morning, God. Lord, I love you. Church, just begin to tell him how much you love him. Just begin to worship him this morning. We're not done yet. Just a few more moments. Come on, church. Lift up a praise to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Begin to press in just a little bit. Press in to know him a little bit more than you have before. Press in. Press in this morning. Take us in. Lord, take us past the outer courts this morning. Take us in to the Holy of Holies. Take us in by the blood of the Lamb this morning, God. Take us in to that place where we don't belong. Take us in, Lord, to that special anointed holy place. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah to the name of the Lord. If you're baptized in the Holy Ghost, begin to pray in an unknown tongue. Begin to speak in an unknown tongue. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Stir yourself up this morning in the Holy Spirit. Sit just to lay hold of the promise of God, to lay hold of what He's offering you. Right now, He's extending His hand in His presence. Just reach up and take a hold of it. Lord, we love you this morning. Oh, hallelujah. Lord, I love you. Lord, I praise you. Holy is your name. Lord, we cry holy. Lord, we cry holy. Holy is your name. That's it, church. Lord, we just press in, Lord. Lord, we seek your face. Lord, you said those who seek, find. And those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. Lord, you are our righteousness, Lord. We're hungering and thirsting after you. Oh, Lord, we're hungry for you. Lord, we live in a dry and a thirsty land. Lord, we're thirsting for you. Lord, we're desperate for you, Lord, as we sung earlier. We're desperate for you. Lord, we need your strength to stand. God, I need your strength to be the father and the husband that you've called me to be. God, I need you. Lord, undo me. Undo us this morning, Holy Ghost. Touch us with fire and consume the chaff and the dross in our lives, God. Rearrange us and empower us and strengthen us this morning. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I love you, Lord. Just press in just a little bit, church. If you need to sit on the pew, I understand. Go ahead and sit on the pew. If you want to kneel, kneel. Let's just take a few moments. Lord, we love you today. Lord, we press into your presence. We press in, Lord, past the outer courts, Lord, into a holy place. Through the blood, that precious blood. Oh, Lord, that cleansing blood. Oh, we come to drink, Lord. Oh, Lord, my, from Emmanuel's veins. Hallelujah. Just soak that up. Hallelujah. Lord, we soak in your presence. Lord, let the waves of your grace and your mercy and your love. Lord, we praise you. Lord, we magnify your name. I believe the Lord would say, come unto me. Come unto me, all you who thirst, and I will give you drink. Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come. Come unto me. I desire to be with you. I died to be with you. Come unto me. Let's do that, church, right now. Let's just obey the Lord. Lord, we come to you. Lord, we're a needy people. We're a needy people. Lord, we're so needy. Lord, I don't have the strength to stand on my own. Lord, I'm a little bit. Sing, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank Jesus. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Come on, church, sing hallelujah. 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 I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. Hallelujah. You, Jesus. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. Hallelujah. Just talk to Him right now. No place could be as important as this place that we're in right now. Church, this is holy, holy ground. Lord, we love you this morning. While the Holy Spirit is so strong in this place, if there's one person in here and you'd like prayer, could you come right over here? Whatever it is, we don't need to know. Maybe you got something going on in your life. I'm here to tell you, 10 seconds in His presence will do more for you than anything in this world. Is there one person that needs prayer this morning? Thank you, Lord. Are you aware of His presence right now? You feel Him? That doesn't have to leave when we leave this place. He wants to stay with you. He wants you to stay aware of Him when you get in your car, when you go to your house. Sometimes I just almost see Jesus riding in the car with me. That helps when I'm thinking about road raging. I feel so good in here right now. I don't really want to leave, but such a sweet presence of the Holy Ghost right now. God is so good, and He's promised that if we'll draw close to Him, hands down, every time He'll draw close to us. When we come the right way, amen. Ain't going to work if we come through Buddha or Joseph Smith, but we come through Jesus. That precious blood will meet us every time. God bless you guys. Thank you so much for allowing me to come today. I mean that. I believe God has got great things for this body of believers. God bless you guys. Thank you so much.
Praise the Lord. Hadn't it been good to be in God's house today? Amen. Like the message today, Isaiah. That's one of my favorite passages of Scripture too. Where God called Isaiah, and praise God. But one thing that I thought of as he was preaching,